I like that. Because doesn't that really represent some of our daily decisions? I mean, come on now. Those of us that are Christ followers, we begin the day, right, with a time in prayer. I mean, does that sound familiar? Okay, we're gonna pray. And then we'll read some portion of the Word, even if it's only, you know, a devotional, okay? We'll get a bread of life. We'll get something so that we can feel good that we have gotten the Word of God. And so now we're ready to begin our day. And usually mixed in there somehow we say, now, Father, help me today, okay? We want to make good decisions, right? We want God's blessing. How many have ever said, God, I want your blessing on my life today? All right, I'll pray for the rest of you. But that is really a good thing to pray, okay? Because that is a father's desire. I can tell you, I've been a father for a few years, right? Fathers really desire to bless their children. As a matter of fact, we look forward to it. We try to find opportunities to. I mean, Pastor Chris models that. Those aren't just words. That really is the desire of a true father's heart. Now, the challenge is because we are humans, all right, and we all have one of those stools. And you can call it a stool, you can call it the throne of your life, call it whatever that you will, all right? Decisions are made as far as who calls the shots. Now, we like it when God tells us it's okay, go ahead and do it. We run into problems when God says no. Am I talking to the right people this morning? I mean, can we serve coffee or something? Maybe that'll, you know, no? All right, maybe next time. Anyway, all right, let's go ahead and let's get into this. This is the scripture that Pastor Chris said, you've got to stick with this. This is the direction that we're going to be going. Matthew chapter 6, if you have your Bibles, we'll probably be staying in Matthew chapter 6. That's going to be our focus this morning. And the scripture obviously says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. There's one thing that I want us to focus on this morning, and that's the word first. Okay? That is the one thing that if we can get that right in our life, everything else falls into place. As long as God remains first. A lot of things that clamor for our attention. Our work clamors for our attention. Our families clamor for our attention. Now we're into the Christmas season. Not the holiday season, the Christmas season. Everything is going to become louder and louder. It's going to become more and more intense. Because we've got to get all of these things done before the end of the year. And everybody wants you to know that they should be first on your priority list. But God in his kingdom demands to be first, not one among the many. In many lives, certainly God is there, and he is expected to be there, particularly when he's needed, but there's just so many things that clamor and yell for attention during our days. Now, I've heard people say, you know, I just don't have time. I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to read the Bible. I don't have time for all of these church activities. But you always have time for what's number one in your priority list. Isn't that true? Whatever that you really want to do, you do. The only reasons that we don't have time for any one thing is because that's not first in our priorities. So we have to make the decision, what are we really invested in? I've always believed that I can tell what a person is invested in if I look at their day planner and I look at their checkbook. Day planners and checkbooks. But if you're not first seeking his kingdom as first, then this is going to identify the reason why a lot of things in your life is falling apart. Why it's not working. Why it's not coming together. Because while many people acknowledge God as God, they don't treat him like God. Because there is this thing of an independent spirit, self-sufficiency. Oh yes, I know as a Christ follower, these are the things that I should do. This is what I've been taught. As a matter of fact, I remember as a young Christ follower, I guess I had given my life to Christ, and it was about 5 or 6 months later that I had the opportunity to win my first soul to Christ. I was a corporate executive, had a temporary employee come in, and I could tell she was in bad shape. She didn't do a bad job, but, oh, poor woman. I just really, and so on her second day there, I invited her to come in my office and sit down, and I closed the door. It was okay in those days. And so I said, would you mind telling me what it is that's troubling you? It's obviously troubling you. And it was definitely a God moment. And the woman poured out her heart. And I didn't know a lot in those days. I'd only been in God's kingdom, again, about 5 or 6 months. And so after she told me her story, I said, I can tell you what happened to me. I can give you my testimony. And I can tell you the change that has brought in my life. And I can tell you how wonderful my life is now. And I asked her, are you interested? She said, sure. So I told her. And then I gave her an invitation. You know, that is so scary. Just inviting someone. And she said, sure. I said, okay, pray after me. And I just prayed what I had heard prayed in church. Again, I didn't know a lot. She prayed. I prayed. Holy Spirit showed up. I could tell that something happened because tears started flowing. And I watched her face transform. I'll tell you, the first time that you lead someone to Christ, it transforms you as well. Put a passion inside of me. Put a desire inside of me. Have you ever won someone to Christ? Again, you know, if I was a rascal, I would ask, how many of you have ever won? But, you know, I'm not feeling too rascally this morning. But when we first see God in his kingdom, then we're in alignment. I forgot to mention that same a woman. I met up with her again about 5, 6 years later, and we just happened to be visiting the same church, recognized her, and I said, how you doing? And she was just aglow, just aglow. She said, my whole family has been transformed. So it just keeps on going, the gift that keeps on giving. Go to the second slide. Scripture tells us again that in Matthew 6, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So the question this morning is, what do you treasure? Do you really treasure your salvation? Do you really have a picture of what life would be like if Christ was not part of your life? If you didn't have the promise of everlasting life? where your heart is, that follows your treasure, though. If you want to give God your heart, the scripture says that you have to figure out first where that treasure is. Many have their hearts in sync with Bank America. That's where their heart is. And for many, when making decisions, people go to God last. He's kind of the spare tire. You know, if all else fails, you know, I can't figure out anything else, because our American society is a rational society. We want to understand things. We want to know what comes next. We want to know how this is going to work. How is this going to happen? You know, that's not faith, folks. As a matter of fact, if we don't understand, if we don't have the reasoning behind it, we feel like our life's completely out of control. Anxiety, worry, anger, all of that typically follows. People first check their day planner, then they check their checkbook, then they look at their past experiences, and if it all makes sense, okay, then we'll do it. I was here yesterday. I looked at the board, and there are 10 different things that our pastoral staff has asked us to get involved in. If somebody doesn't step up and say, "I'm willing to try," those 10 things will be there at the end of this year and the end of next year. Truthfully, nothing changes until somebody says, "I'll try." There are so many gifts that are present in the sanctuary. And the determining factor should not be the day planner, the checkbook, and truthfully, our feelings. Huh? Am I right? Okay, all right. I'm just want to make sure that I'm not out in left field. All right? Now, within this Matthew chapter 6 verse, on at least four verses, verse 25, 28, 31, and 34, focuses on worry. Okay? Don't be anxious. Don't worry. This is Jesus saying. Well, guess what putting God first solves? All the worry. However, it only solves it if you really believe it. May I suggest to you that on those moments, on those occasions where we feel anxious, where we feel worry, how much faith, how much belief do we really have in our Father? It's like saying, "Yeah, I know what the Bible says, but, a lot of goats, I think, in church. There are a lot of buts. But Scripture repeatedly, God says that He wants to be first. First in finances, first in time, first in relationship. But there is also a daily benefit of God's kingdom that's defined. If you'll put up the next Scripture. There we go. Scripture tells us, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." This is the benefit. This is what we receive when we put the kingdom of God first. Go to the next slide. The kingdom of God is this. First of all, righteousness. And I like going a little bit deeper. The word righteousness means conforming to a standard of what is right and good based on God's standards of moral excellence and character. So then the question that we need to ask is, do I really love the way that God says that I should love? Hey, I'm still working on that patience and kindness thing. Every time that Heidi and I have a controversy, and that's usually at least once a week or once a day, It's true. We are so very different. I wouldn't swap with anyone. But we still have controversies. And this year, what I have heard the Holy Spirit whisper in my ear so frequently, were you patient? Were you kind? You see, when you cultivate an intimate relationship with Him, He knows that you're serious. He knows that you're putting Him and His kingdom first, and He wants to help. Because truthfully, we can't change if He doesn't help. We can sit under the best teaching, we can have all of the scriptures memorized, moving on. The second element is peace. The biblical meaning is to be complete or whole or to live well, as in, at number one, as wholeness in life or body. This is the benefit of putting the kingdom of God first. Wholeness. Secondly, it's as a right relationship or harmony between two parties or people, often established by covenant. Did you make a covenant with Father when He saved your soul? That covenant went something like, I'll trade my old life for your new life. I'll make you the Lord of my life. From now on, you call the shots. You get to sit on the stool. You're on the throne. But do we really take the time and let Him make the decision? Thirdly, peace is as prosperity, success, or fulfillment. Boy, now we could really embrace that, couldn't we? How'd you like to live a successful life in God's eyes? How'd you like to have the assurance that when you stand before Him on that day, and we will all stand before Him one day, wouldn't it be wonderful to hear, well done? That would be successful. Huh? And finally, the fourth is peace is as victory over one's enemies or an absence of war. You ever face any enemies during your week? Got any adversaries on your shoulder throwing out some accusations, some condemnations? Huh? So this is kingdom of God. Then there's the third element, which is joy. Joy is experiencing the fulfillment and happiness of a right relationship with God and man. Look at the person next to you and tell them, I need some joy. Go ahead. That means a right relationship. That means that it doesn't always get to be your way. Huh? You ever hear that? Huh? It's my way or the highway? Huh? Uh-huh. And people seem to have time to do all of the things that they really want to do. I mean, you know, make money, watch TV, talk with their friends, play games. Really, we have time to do whatever that we really want to do. And oh, I know after a hard day of chasing kids all over the house, or hard day, you know, at the office, you know, with that unreasonable boss, you know, you just want to go home and kick off your shoes and relax. Well, how about kicking off your shoes and going to the holy place and allowing the lover of your soul to listen to your day? Because it's better talking to Him than it is talking to anyone. And you just might hear some words of encouragement come flowing through your heart. Things that you really need to hear. Things that will bring healing. Scripture says in Matthew chapter 6 that the Gentiles go after many things. things, you know, that bring pleasure, things that bring comfort, and they go after those things because they are the Lord over their lives. So I submit, are we so deceived that we do the same thing? And while we're asking God to bless what we're planning on doing during the day, regardless. I remember as a young Christian, that's how I used to pray. Father, I'm going to work real hard today, and I'm going to do these things, and I've got my day all planned out. Bless what I'm going to do today. I had to learn to ask Him what I was supposed to be doing that day. Question becomes, do we ask God to reward us when we give Him the seconds and the thirds and the fourths? Huh? But Pastor, you just don't understand. Yeah, I do. Been there, done that. As a matter of fact, let me just throw this out to you. Okay? Those of you that are so very tired of working, so very tired of going to the office, so very tired of, you know, just got to be in that work environment. At my stage in life, I find myself wanting to go back to what I used to do. It's been an honor helping, taking care of the woman that I love. But if God would allow me, I'd go right back to work. I would. Because I know what I was designed for. I know that I was productive. I know that there were that there was value in what I did. You just might find yourself coming to the day after that you've retired for whatever reason, wanting to go back, wanting to do it again. Thank God for what He's given you. Thank God for the family that He's given you, the one that drives you up a wall. Huh? Thank God for the kids that are about to drive you insane. Don't you know that God gave you those kids? He shaped them and molded them. Of course, you had a little hand in some of those things. Come on, folks. It's so easy to find fault with our lives. And yeah, we've made some pretty poor decisions at times. But if God really is the director of our lives, He's the one that calls the shots. Think about that. Every time we complain, we're saying, God, You messed up. Am I wrong? Hallelujah. All right. Scripture points to the fact that each person lives for either God's desires or for selfish desires. If you'll go to the next slide. There we go. Selfishness. You knew that we'd finally get to this, right? Selfishness is being concerned excessively or exclusively with oneself. What about me? What's in this for me? You're asking me to do one of those 10 things that's on the board out there? Well, what's in it for me? What am I going to get from it? Come on now, truthfully, isn't that the basis that we approach a lot of things in life? You're looking so holy this morning. I must be talking to the wrong people. Go on. Selfishness is also seeking or concentrating on one's own advantage, pleasure, or well-being with little regard for others. You know, there are a lot of people that would be helped if we would step up and take one of those 10 things. Isn't that true? Moving on. Selfishness is putting our goals, priorities, and needs before everyone else, or even those who are really in need. Because after all, life is all about me. God created the universe for me. I'm the apple of God's eye. God always forgives me, regardless. So it really doesn't matter. I mean, when I come to church, I expect a certain sermon. I expect to hear the music that really brings the feelings that I desire. And they better be there. Don't want the offering to be too long. Okay? I do give, all right? One of these days, I'll understand the difference between giving and generosity. I'm just not there yet. I don't want people clapping too loud because that bothers me. No clappers. And children really belong downstairs, not upstairs. Okay? Because after all, I've come into the sanctuary to meet with God. This is a holy time. I know you've never had a thought like that. Pray for me. Hallelujah. Move on to Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. We're admonished, don't act out of selfish ambition or be conceited. Instead, humbly think of others as being better than yourselves. I did not write that. Don't be concerned only about your interests, but also be concerned about the interests of others. In the scripture passage, Paul compares selfishness to being conceited, a term that could be translated vanity or arrogance. Refers to having a very high opinion of yourself. Because after all, I am the apple of God's eye. And me and Jesus. Let me show you a group of scriptures. Maybe this helped a little bit. Galatians, when we're talking about selfishness, Galatians 5:20 calls it works of the flesh. James 3:16 said it leads to disorder and every evil practice. Psalm 78:18, selfishness caused the children of Israel to willfully put God to the test by demanding the food that they crave. I know that you would never demand anything from God. God, you need to fix that spouse of mine. They are driving me crazy. Need to silence that child. Matthew 19, 21 to 22 talks about the rich young ruler who turned his back on Jesus. I'd never do that, right? Whatever God asked me to do, I would do it immediately, right? Right? Proverbs 18, 1 says selfishness rules friendships. James 4, verse 3 says selfishness hinders prayer. I love this one. Mark 9, verse 33, and they, that is the disciples, the close ones to Jesus, the ones that spent all that time with him, the disciples came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, Jesus put the question to them, what are you talking about on the way? But the disciples said nothing because they had an argument between themselves along the way as about who was the greatest. I don't understand how that person got elected to the board because I am so much more spiritual. Oh, yes. Move to the Deuteronomy scripture. Deuteronomy 5, verse 8, you must not make for yourself an idol of any kind or an image of anything in the heavens or on the earth or in the sea. You must not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God who will not tolerate your affection for any other gods. Is there anything that ever takes God's place on that stool? Any kind of recreation? Any person? Guys can almost worship their employment because it becomes who they are. Ladies can worship their children. Oh, I learned a long time ago, you don't get in between mom and her kids. Anybody get a new car? I'd love to take it for a ride. But pastor, I saved all these years for, I know. Anybody tied to that? To that house that you have, we'll all come over and have a party. Hallelujah. There are things that are near and dear to us, but if they're near and dear in the kingdom of God, that becomes an idol. Things were extremely important to me. I didn't have a bunch growing up. I'll tell you, there was a day that God asked me to give him my automobile. And that was hard for me because it was something that I worked hard for. But she knew that a change came when I said, the babysitter, crazy teenager. What is it that you possess that it would break your heart if it went away? I remembered this week, it was about 20 years ago, Heidi and I went in for a doctor's appointment, and we thought it was just routine. She went in first, and then they asked me to come in, and that was the visit that they gave us the news that Heidi had an inoperable brain tumor. Those are the moments that will change your life. It was during that week, so I was spending time in prayer after, you know, absorbing some of the shock. I remember the Holy Spirit whispering in my ear, if I take her home now, what will change? I don't answer those questions. I remember what seemed like a long time. Finally, I said, Father, I still have your destiny to fulfill. I'll have a big hole in my heart that only you can fill. Nothing else changed. He wants to be Lord of all. Or he's not Lord at all. He's just a spare tire.